Very good. Alrighty. All good to know. Anybody else with comments, suggestions, et cetera, for a go kit? Good night, Harry.
I have no comment. Forgive me for slandering your words, but if you did any reading on the freeze upstate New York had 10 or so years ago where we lost all the power because the power lines fell down because they all froze, you wouldn't believe the number of houses that burned down when heads knock candles over. So avoid candles like the plague.
No, I understand. We don't place them where the dog goes, but that's okay. We have them up on mantelpieces and sconces and other high places, but it's okay. I understand the concern. I'm a bit of a safety Nazi when it comes to flame in my house. I get a little crazy. So I understand. All right, very good. Anybody else? K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, W2TTT. All righty. Any other things you'd put in your go kit that we haven't covered, or something we've covered but you'd do it uniquely or differently, please call K2BAR. All righty. So here's the next challenge, and we're going to delay the conversation till another time. But if you had to run your station and there was no AC power, what would you do? How would you keep your house habitable? If you could, or how would you at least survive it in various times of the year? And how would you get on the air? And let's say you lost your antennas, what would you do? So we can throw a couple of challenges into your game. But one assumption is that your antennas survived and you just have no power. The other one is, oh, you lost your antennas too, what are you going to do? And the third challenge might be it's cold or it's really hot. What are you going to do? Depending on the placement of your shack, it could be an issue. Like in my case, it could be life-threatening to try to operate in an un-air-conditioned shack on the third floor of my house in the summertime. On the other hand, it's the warmest room in the house, even in the wintertime, with no power applied. If I get anything powered up, it stores up a lot of heat up here. So I might be better off operating up here in the winter. But we'll talk more about that another day. The other question for another day might be if you had to operate packet on the road, HF on the road, meaning not home and not necessarily in your mobile, what would you do? What kind of antennas would you throw up? You know, it's the middle of November and you've been required to set up as a two-man field day station. Because your communications resources are needed, what would that involve for you? And both in a vehicle and outside of a vehicle. So, kind of curious. So we'll talk about these adventures another day. Any other check-ins, announcements, comments, questions for the net, please call K2BAR.
I got to talk one more time. K2BAR, KV3PQB. Good. Just real quick, the glove that I used to belong to up in PA, what the heck was it? EPARA, and it's spelled just like it sounds. Eastern Amateur Radio, something, I forgot what it is. EPARA is the name of it. If you go to their website, they have an excellent, excellent antenna that is an inverted V, 20 meters and 40 meters. The thing can be stored in a 5-foot-tall tube, and you can stand it up and have it operating in less than 20 minutes.
Well, let me see if I can find the website before you go. I appreciate your thoughtfulness and coming back with that, by the way. So let me see what gives EPARA, E-P-A-R-A?
QSL.
Pennsylvania Amateur Radio Association. Yes, it's a valid website. I found it. It's on QSL.net, but if you just Google ePower, you'll find it. It's quick enough. So they have something about an antenna, live video from the Eagle's Nest. So is that's along the Delaware, isn't it?
Yes. My friend Jerry up there was doing the link to that Eagle's Nest link. It's somebody set up a cam. It's kind of interesting. It's very interesting when it's active. I don't know if it's active right now, but you'll see there's a link on like the second page to an antenna, and I can't remember what it was called. But we actually built it. We built it out of three pieces of PVC. A piece of 3-inch, a piece of 2-inch, and a piece of 1.5-inch. With assorted reducer couplings. And they actually all fit inside each other. And at the top you use an 1.5-inch cap with a SO239 on the inside of the cap. And you run you got to do is drill out a 1/4-inch brass screw and solder it to the 39, so on and so forth. Anyway, you cut the two leads, it basically it's an inverted V, and you feed both lines at the same time, and it becomes resonant on 20 meters, it becomes resonant on 40 meters. Works really good, and you can cut it for either the CW portion or for the voice portion. We had it set up, and we were using it at one of our events up there, and made quite a few contacts on it. It worked really well. So hopefully you can find it. It's real neat. And again, like I said, something you can put together in 20 minutes. Put it up, stand it up, and voila, it runs.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's the Envis antenna, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Yeah, the thing that's puzzling me is that it's got a 38-foot piece. Well, dimensionally it's different, to say the least, but okay. It's got 25-foot elements and 38-foot elements. But then in another picture, oh, I see 45 is that. Oh, gotcha. Okay. So it's got 38 feet on a dipole and one pair, and 90 degrees offset a pair of 25 foot. So it's self-guying, it's a piece of PVC, and as a center conductor, I would make one change to the design, maybe, that is to actually put the coax down the center. And then have it come out as a T. I don't know if they do that. It's kind of hard to... No, they don't do that, amazingly enough. But I think I would do that. I would put a T in the middle of the mast so I could feed out the coax at a comfortable height, let's say 5 feet off the ground or something. But very nice, yes, very nice.
Okay, the one that I built, I drilled a 1-inch hole in the side of the 3-inch PVC on an angle. And I'm sure, you've done that. It's tricky. You got to start it straight and then kind of twist the hole sort of sideways. But I did it, and it makes it real easy to get the coax connector out. You just slide the thing down the pipe, and it falls right through the hole and keeps falling out. That's how I did it. And we used a piece of regular RG8 as the feed for it. The one that we were using, we actually used the transmatch on it. Nothing fancy, a little MFJ, what was it, 935 or something like that, the real cheesy one, the 100 watt, worked perfectly, worked great, that's all I got to say about it. And yeah, you use nylon to extend the other line so that they're the same size, a couple of tent stakes, and the bottom of the 3-inch, you use a 3-inch cap, and a piece of 3-inch threaded rod about maybe 8 inches long, and you drive that into the ground, that keeps the bottom from, swaying around. Works real good. Excellent antenna. Perfect antenna for an emergency use.
Excellent. Yeah, I can think of a few variations on that theme, but I get the idea. Very nice. Very, very nice. Kudos. Thank you for the suggestion. Maybe we'll try that out for Cambria on the air. Just something different. If not sooner. All right, anybody else have any questions or suggestions? All righty. Well, we've had quite a lively net, despite ourselves. It's 10 after 10. It's more than adequate for to call it a good net. I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. Look forward to seeing you at upcoming meetings. Fairlawn meeting tomorrow night, and I don't know if there's one next week. I'm not quite sure. And then, of course, the Barron meeting next week on the 5th. And there's Kid Night on Tuesday night, I think. And certainly coffee on Fridays and Tuesdays at Paramus Park around 8 o'clock in the morning up on the food court. Miscellaneous other nets are Monday, 10 meters, 28375. Wednesday, probably 8 o'clock, 146.79 for the YL net on Mondays. On Wednesdays, we have the Barra chat net, 146.79 at 9 o'clock. At 8.30 on 444.100 on Thursdays, we have that net, followed by this net, the tech net, at 9 o'clock on Chestnut Ridge, 146.955. Alrighty, folks, have a great night. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for your time and attention and your interest. And be prepared, I guess is the other motto that I pay attention to. Anyway, Godspeed all. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, signing clear and standing by for any other stations wishing to talk after the net.
I didn't say my call after my last transmission, so let me do that now and clear. KB3, PQP Mobile, we're QRT, 73s.
Very good. By the way, something for you, Harry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I recently bought, at really good discounts, some extra 40 and 20 meter, what do you call it, ham sticks. With the 3/8-24 thread, they were missing stingers and they were missing the little coupler at the end that allowed you to put in the whip. But I had plenty of whips kicking around, and they had 3/8-24 thread, a male on one side and a female on the other. So I thought about that a little bit, as I'm sure you can imagine, and so what I can do now is make a dipole out of a pair of those things, and make one for 20, make one for 40, or if I have an extra one, I can make one for 80, if you can believe it. I can even approximate 60 meters with a 40 and a 20 just screwed together, and just a nominal stinger. Antenna tuners will handle the rest. So it's kind of a cool little thing. I thought about it and I said, what the heck, let me just do that. But John at Advanced Specialties had these whips, and you know, he sells them for $15 with all the parts, but for $6 just with the core part, the part that tends to get abused. I'm fine with stingers, I'm fine with couplers, I tend to beat up on these, but what I really like about the model he's carrying now, it's got, instead of having a fixed, you know, connector for the stinger, for the whip, if you will, he has a model he buys from a vendor that basically gives you a male 3/8-24 on the bottom and a female 3/8-24 with an adapter for the whip that screws in to the 3/8-24 female at the top of the coil, which I think is just marvelous.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can make with the ham sticks. I've seen a few things. People have come up with ideas for making dipoles out of ham sticks. Believe it or not, years ago I had this. I don't know who made it. It was I'm gonna say it looked like a Starduster antenna. But it was designed to be used with ham sticks. And it was a neat little thing, and, you know, If I had access to a lathe again, I could probably turn them out in woods. really neat design, and great antennas, great portable antennas. I can see, you know, screwing them together. That's a neat idea. Good idea. Very good idea.
The other thing, he doesn't have any more of these, but you could certainly make one up. He had an aluminum plate from Van Ord, or Van Ort, I'm trying to remember, Van Ort, California, that was a mount for multiple hamsticks on a base. So one would go up and the others would go out, three more would go out at angles. So you could have four different hamsticks on a common base. And I thought about that, that's very nice. But what I did was I turned the plate upside down so that instead of angling up the hamsticks, they angled down. And so you use those as radials for an antenna that might be, let's say, a screwdriver antenna. So you put your radials out there using hamsticks, and then you have your screwdriver antenna on top in the center, and just adjust that to meet your needs.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Who used to sell that? Neutronics used to sell that plate. If you remember back in the day when they used to use the Hustler or the Neutronics coils, you used to be able to put a whole bunch of them on the mast. And, you know, you could put like an 80 meter in the middle, and, you know, I think it had three. You could put an 80, a 20, and a 40 on it, and a 10, you know. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that works good. That's a good idea for the screwdriver. I don't have that screwdriver. I have the High Sierra. It doesn't have a single hole mount in the bottom of it. You actually have to have something clamped around it. And one day that'll go on the car. Someday. After I get the 706 fixed. That's another thing. But, a little at a time. Anyway, KV3PQP.
Of course. So, you have a large High Sierra, because I have a High Sierra Sidekick, and so it's a shorty. So I was thinking of doing that. And of course, this thing has a plate with an angle thing with some U-bolts, so that you can bolt it on a small, maybe inch and a quarter mast, which is perfect for hilltopping or putting it on a camera tripod, something like that, a steroidal camera tripod, something like that. So that's kind of where my head's at with this thing. But anyway, as I say, alas, I digress.
There you go. All right, well, I'm almost at the home QTH. I was going to try and make it so that my wife wouldn't have to hear me talking on the radio, but, that didn't work. And she says she doesn't care. But anyway. All right. Good. Pleasure talking to you. I'll see what's up tomorrow, and maybe I can stop by the Fallon meeting. I don't know what time I'm going to get out of work, and what else is going to happen. By the way, what time does that meeting start?
It's just a gathering more than anything. Anytime after about 6:30, people arrive, and we wrap up around 9:30. But you can come and go anytime you want. There's operating positions. You can operate. You can chat. You can work on equipment. All sorts of things like that. It's a friendly environment. By the way, before you get too far toward home, what is your wife's name?
Oh, my wife's name is Denise.
Okay. Hi, Denise. It's good to hear you, and it's nice to know you're patient. My wife is a ham, and she's patient when it's appropriate. She's impatient when it's appropriate as well. So there. So thank you for lending us Harry for a while. We don't get to talk with him very often.
trouble. No, I don't mind, but when we went and pay at PA, oh my God, you have two radios and have to book for hours. And came home after driving 2 hours home and then talked for 2 hours and he ignored me.
Yeah, it was KB3PQP speaking. PQP's wife speaking. She said, nice to meet you. All right, very good, Gordon. I'll see if I can stop over tomorrow and just say hello to everybody. And I really like to, maybe I'll bring that little thing with me that I have in my truck that I've designed to show everybody. Anyway, catch you again real soon. I'm parked. I'm going to get out of the car. 7-3s, have a great evening.
Okay, good night, Denise. Good night, Harry. It's a pleasure. Take care. KB3PQPW2TTT.
By the way, who was ever idea that was for the Cookie Sheet Crown Plane? Thank you.
Yeah, do you want, if you don't have a Cookie Sheet, I can give you a heater tray, which might actually work a bit better.
What are heater trays?
They're like they're a little bigger than a Cookie Sheet, generally, depending on the size, but, they're a little deeper. So they, instead of being, let's say, between 3/4 inch or 1/2 inch and 1 inch deep, they're like 1.5 inches, 2 inches deep at the most.
Yeah, the idea of drilling a hole in it is a good one, too. A 1-inch hole makes life a lot easier.
Right, you can always drill a hole. What I like about the taller ones is that they have a little more room for better connectors underneath, and if you want, and or an angle, and you can come out, drill a hole through the side, put it through a grommet so that it comes out the side. The other approach is you can do no drilling and just throw a magma out on the top and you're done.
Exactly. And I'm sure the magnums are very happy with it.
They are. Yeah, they are. Alrighty. I'm going to, get going here as I have to find out something from my number 3 son and take care of something online if he wants to do something next month. I have to register him by today, otherwise it's going to cost me a small fortune. So,